On our study here in Romans and talking about Romans 9, Israel's past, Romans 10, Israel's present, how to be a believer, how to get saved, and then Romans 11, to talk about Israel's future here. So in 11 verse 1, I say then, this is Paul talking, has God rejected his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. So if we were unclear on who God's people are that Paul's talking about, he clarifies by saying, I am an Israelite. I am from Abraham. He makes it clear that he is with the nation of Israel, right? So it's that group of people. Now, God has not rejected his people with whom he foreknew. So the nation of Israel in the past, do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and have destroyed your altars. I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is the divine reply to him? So here's Elijah. This is in 1 Kings. And so he's, you know, crying out to God saying, I'm the only one that's choosing in my own free will and my own power to serve you. And God says, no, others have done the same thing. He says here in verse 4, but what is the divine reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So these 7,000 men, they also chose, right, to not serve and worship Baal. And in that choice to stay strong, to do what God wanted them to do, God is preserving them. He's helping them stay safe. Verse 5, so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, the elected, from chapters 9, 10, 11, are who? Who are the elected? Israel, right? Israel are those who are elected. Okay, and if by grace, it is no longer by works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. But if it's by works, then it's not no longer by grace. Otherwise, work would no longer be work. What do you guys think that means? So, when I choose, okay, to follow God and serve God, God will take care of me. That's his grace, right? Election comes in for a believer after you trust Christ. So after I trust Christ, I make that choice. There are Jews here that have chosen to accept Christ as their Savior. Now they're elected to serve. Election is always to service. Okay? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, elected to serve. Here we go. So we see here that there is a remnant that have chosen to accept Christ as their Savior. We saw down at the end of chapter 9, that the nation of Israel are not all born again. God's not fulfilling his promises. Why? Because of unbelief, right? The nation itself is not accepting Christ as a personal Savior. Now, at this time, have thousands of Jews accepted Christ? Absolutely. Thousands of Jews have accepted Christ. But not the nation as a whole. We'll see this coming up. Verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained what it was seeking. Again, why did they not obtain it? You know what? Let's just go back there for a good reference. Back to Romans 9. Let's go back to Romans 9, verse 30. Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by what? Faith. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness. So they were pursuing the law. They're obsessed with the law. Not that really the God of the law, but the law in and of itself. Okay? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not attain the law of righteousness. Why not? Because they did not seek it by what?
Faith.
But by the works of the law. For they stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Look, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be ashamed." So back to Romans 11. This is where Paul's going to start arguing. This argument is, hey guys, he hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. There are a group of us. If you're a part of that group, you have accepted Christ. We're okay. We're doing good. God in his grace will keep us safe. He'll protect us. We'll move forward. All right, we're going to be all right. Now, does that mean the nation as a whole is rejected? Let's see what he talks about that coming up. But the elect obtained it, and the rest were hardened. As it is written, God has given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that would not see, and ears that would not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling a block, and retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they may not see, and always bow down their backs. So we see here that those that are choosing, how does one get saved? Well, Paul explained that in Romans 10, right? Do we need to go back there and remember how to do that? If you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So again, they know how to be saved. Paul's encouraging them, you guys are saved. Yes, right now the nation is against us. Nero is against us. Not looking good, but there's always a small group of us. There's always been a small group that are choosing to do what is right. And the rest are hardened. Now we're going to see that they're hardened because of unbelief, right? Did God want this originally? No! Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came wanting them to accept him as their Savior, but they said, not so. Not going to do it. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. For through their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So have they stumbled so far that they can't come back? Not so. Not at all. Because many of these people here that have stumbled, they did get saved. They are coming back. Not only that, but because of their transgression and their denying Christ as the Messiah, it opened up the door for the Gentiles to get the gospel and to make the Jews jealous. So jealous, they would say, no, that's our God. That's our Messiah. We accept him. But it didn't do that, did it? Nope. Verse 13, for I am speaking to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, that somehow I may make my kinsmen jealous and may save some of them. So Paul is continuing to hold out hope, right? They're not so far gone that they can't be saved. He's saying, hey, I'm going to keep preaching and teaching this truth. And I'm hoping that does make some of the other Jews jealous. And I'm going to keep trying to see if I can save just some of them. Just some. Now, as this is being written, as this epistle is being written, there are some Jews that are not saved yet that Paul is going to witness to later that they do get saved. Right? Isn't that encouraging? That's awesome. To me, it blows me away. He's holding out hope. Hey, not everyone's so far gone that's an Israelite that they can't come to know the Lord as their Savior. Verse 15, for if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the first portion of the dough is holy, the batch is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them and became a partaker with them of the root and richness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. If you boast, remember, you did not sustain the root, but the root sustains you. That's why I think it's good to know our history, right? To know where we came from. The nation of Israel brought the Messiah through them. He's a Jew from the tribe of Levi. Judah, he can't be from Levi because he's a priest after the Lord Melchizedek, right? So he's saying, hey guys, just because they rejected their Messiah that was to them, don't get boastful, don't get haughty, because the root sustains the branch. You're wild. And the fact that by God's grace he's allowing the wild olive shoot to come in and be grafted in, that's a big deal. All right, but don't get too haughty. Remember, the root supports you, not the other way around. To be mindful of where your Savior came from. Let's look on down to verse 19. You will say then, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. This is correct. They were broken off. Why? Because of unbelief. But you stand by faith. See, the nation of Israel, why are they broken off? They chose to not believe as a nation. They chose to not believe as a nation. So because of their unbelief, it allowed that door to be open to the Gentiles to be grafted in. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, who were the natural branches? Israel, right? Neither will he spare you. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God, severity towards those who fell, but goodness towards you, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And these also, if they do not remain in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. See, another verse of hope, verse 23. These also, if they do not remain in unbelief, they don't have to stay there, right? Just because some of them are hardened now, they don't have to stay hardened. They can choose to believe, right? He's saying, hey, they can be grafted right back in, for God is able to graft them in again. How would they get grafted back in? By accepting Christ as their Savior, by accepting Christ as their Messiah. That's how they're going to get back in. Verse 24, for if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So he's saying, hey, listen. Yes, the nation of Israel messed up. Now, if you look at Isaiah, where he's quoting in Psalm 69, Isaiah switches the letters from like 58, 59, 60 going on, right, to now their future. Okay, millennial, or the Messiah coming. Jesus coming, and then the millennium. Right here, he's encouraging the nation of Israel that as we're accepting our Messiah, the Gentiles can accept our Messiah. Yes, our nation as a whole is still denying Christ and still not accepting him as their Messiah. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. History has shown over and over there's always a remnant. There's always a small group of people that are choosing to do that which is right. To believe the scriptures, to believe in their God, to have faith, not try and work out their salvation through the law or through other means and do it in their own power, but to trust God and to be obedient to what God has for them. Now, if God did all this work, he chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to have the children of Israel, for that nation to be formed and take over the promised land, and he made covenants to that nation, did he not? Absolutely. He can't break those covenants. He can't. Now, isn't it interesting, like if we were to put ourselves during this time, when the nation's under duress, you know, Nero's not a good dude, the Roman Empire is a powerhouse, to maybe start losing some faith? To say, okay, well, did God mean what he said in those promises? Because if I was to just look at my life right now, and what's happening in my life, and in my country, with my leadership, I would say God's bailed out on us. As a Jew, who was born again in Rome. Right? I would say, man, God's bailed on us. Are these covenants true? Are we going to see the Messiah, the son of David, on the throne? I don't know. Is Zechariah 12 really going to happen? If I'm looking at it right now, there's no way. There's no way. How many times do Americans do that? They look at the Bible through the 21st century. And they get a 21st century mindset. They're looking at what's happening like they have x-ray vision going, oh man. You got to remember, when these letters are being written, they're thinking these things are going to happen in their time. 2,000 years ago. Right? Can you imagine trying to help figure that out? What's this going to look like? How's that going to look? What's going to happen here? So we like to look at things and go, oh man, you know, our leadership in America. Don't do that. There's nothing here about America. Y'all doing okay? Your country means nothing. Your freedoms mean nothing. Constitution doesn't mean anything. Well, let it go. Let your constitution go. Well, I gotta fight for it. But what the Word of God says? There was no constitution for these guys when they're going through what they were going through. What could they rely on? That, you think they could sue their government? You think they're voting in their leadership? I don't think so. Nero got in office because he killed everybody. That wasn't of God. We'll get to Romans 13, I'll prove that. So when this is being written, he's saying, hey, God hasn't bailed out on us, guys. Hang in there. There's always a remnant. Stay strong. Be encouraged. They're going to go, you know what, Paul? You're right. We see that now. You're right. He kind of gets their eyes back into practice. Because when he's quoting scripture to these Jews, he's going back to Isaiah 58, 59. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, right? Say, hey, you see what Isaiah was saying here? Nothing's changed. Let me encourage you. It's always a small group of us. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He'll go back to the nation of Israel. Right now, they're just not believing. And there's a time for that. So he's going to let them not believe as a nation. He'll have a partial hardening on them. Doesn't mean those that are hardened now won't get saved as individuals. There will be a time when the nation will accept him. And that will be a fun thing to see. So as we move on down here, what did I leave off? Verse 24, is that where I'm at?
25.
Okay. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers. What mystery? Lest you be wise in your own estimation, for a partial hardening has come upon Israel until when? The fullness of the Gentiles has come in. There's a time right now for us. Now, Paul has no idea it's in the last 2,000 years or more. Over 2,000 years, he's thinking it's going to be done in his lifetime. He's looking to Christ in the rapture. Right? He wrote about the rapture. He says, hey, we're going to go up there and meet him. Now, did he see that? No, he got his head cut off. Partial hardening. 26, and so all Israel will be saved. When will all Israel be saved? As it's written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. Now we're getting some millennial verses or some tribulation stuff. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regarding the election, they are beloved for the sake of the patriarchs. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but have now received mercy through their disobedience, so these also, having now been disobedient, that they also may receive mercy by the mercy shown to you. For God has imprisoned them all in disobedience, so that he might be merciful to all. So in summary here, this tribulation verse, when he'll take away all of Israel's sin, when you look in Isaiah, what was the biggest sin that Israel was committing in Isaiah 58, 59 were being written? You guys remember? The sin of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. They're going through the motions. They're doing the law. But boy, they are far from God. They look like they have righteousness, but their heart is far from them. Same thing's happening in Rome right now with these Jews. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. A lot of these Jews that are going behind Paul talking about different things, you know, they say that they have the law, they say that they're doing right, but their heart's far from God. The sin of hypocrisy. So if you check out Isaiah 58, 59, you'll see that. This will really bring light to how Paul is addressing the children of Israel. They're going to know this language, right? For us, we're like, man, I kind of understand, but I kind of don't. They're going, I get it. I get it. The nation as a whole is a hypocrite. Yep, there's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and infallible are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So we just have three chapters of Paul really diving into the children of Israel, right? And really slowing down and explaining things to them. The believers who are Jews in Rome, he takes time to explain, hey, listen. Our people have always been rebellious. They've not followed God a lot of the times throughout history. Look at Judges, look at all these different times. They have not done well. They've denied God several times. They have not believed God in several cases. So a hardened heart isn't going to accept the Messiah that's given to them. Now, anyone can be saved, Romans 10. Anyone can be saved. Romans 11, just because the nation isn't saved right now, God hasn't forgotten about them, God hasn't bailed out on the nation of Israel, he'll come back to them. But right now, it's the time of Gentiles. We got to witness to them. We got to see them saved. There's the fullness of Gentiles. Once that's complete, then we'll start seeing tribulation. Then we'll start seeing them coming back in Zechariah 12, tribulation stuff. So he does a good job of taking the truth that Christ has taught him when he was alone, for however, wherever he was at for however long, and mixing that with Old Testament scripture and Isaiah and Psalms, where the Jews that are saved are going to go, oh, gotcha. And then sprinkling in there towards the end, the Gentiles, now, don't you be arrogant, guys. Just because our nation has denied their Messiah and you're able to get grafted in, he can cut you off too. I was not going to, but he could. But remember that. And how much more special will it be the nation of Israel does accept him as their king. How cool is that going to be? So helping encourage the nation of Israel that are born again, or Jews as a whole, that are born again, to just be encouraged, to stay with it. God hasn't denied or broken his covenants and promises with them. He's fulfilling them. questions? We have a few minutes. Romans 9, 10, or 11. Well, all right, hot dog, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Lord, we're so thankful for Romans 11. Lord, it's encouraging to me, because just as I see that you will continue to keep your promises to the nation of Israel over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years of being disobedient, you will still fulfill and keep your promises, keep your covenant. And Lord, if that's true for that nation, I'm your child. We're your children in here. How much more do those promises mean to us that we have in the New Testament? That you cause all things to work together for good to those who love God or are called according to his purpose. That you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That our sins are forgiven. That we are new creatures, old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Lord, there's so many wonderful biblical promises that you've given us that are true, that we can rely on. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that you have not forsaken the children of Israel, and that you will fulfill your promises you made to them in the future. But I pray that we would take these truths, and they would sink into our hearts and minds, and that if anything, Lord, we just see your greatness, and that we see that you keep your promises. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.